From the Louis Libby trial today, news that neither the defendant nor his former boss, Vice President Dick Cheney, will take the witness stand. Libby's lawyer says he plans to rest his defense without testimony from either man. Libby is accused of lying to and obstructing federal investigators in the leak of a CIA agent's identity. NPR's Nina Totenberg joins us now from federal court here in Washington, D.C. First, Nina, that question that many have been wondering about, no Dick Cheney and no Louis Libby on the stand.
Well, Libby's lawyer made that announcement in court this afternoon. The judge then asked Libby directly whether he understood that he has the right to testify in his own defense and was waiving that right. Libby, standing up, said, "Yes, sir, I do. I will follow the advice of my counsel."
That's interesting because conventional wisdom holds that a perjury defendant is ill-advised in not taking the stand, that his word is at issue, and the jury would perhaps need to hear from him.
It is the conventional wisdom, but it's clear that Libby's lawyers didn't want him to get into the ring with prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, and they obviously thought that the risk of testifying was greater than the risk of not testifying. That phone you hear in the background, by the way, we share a space with other reporters, and that's what you're hearing.
I imagine you're all quite busy right now reporting on this. And Vice President Dick Cheney, why is he not testifying?
Well, I assume there's some of the same reasons. Some of the things that they hope to get from Cheney, they got this morning from the vice president's current national security advisor, John Hanna, who was one of Libby's deputies back in 2003 when the events leading up to this case were unfolding. Hanna went through a long litany of the things that Libby was dealing with in the months when Valerie Wilson's CIA identity was leaked to the press, the fall of Saddam Hussein and what followed in Iraq, terrorist threats involving possible biological, nuclear, and chemical attacks on the United States, the nuclear programs in Iran and North Korea, the Israeli-Palestinian situation, and more. And Hanna also testified that Libby has an awful memory.
Well, the strategy behind that testimony, and were you able to glean at all whether or not that seemed to be working with the jury?
Well, the jury didn't seem to be taking the kind of notes that it normally does, but they were watching Mr. Hanna and being very attentive. All I can tell you is that the jurors came back with an interesting set of questions. One of them was, aside from his poor memory, did Libby's extensive involvement in so many subjects lead to questions about his effectiveness? Never, replied the witness, Mr. Hanna. How did you trigger his memory? Answer, he was good at remembering ideas and concepts, but not where they came from. So that, for example, Mr. Hanna said, I would go in the morning, I would tell him about a particular situation, I would tell him what I thought we ought to do, and by that evening, he would come back telling me the same information, and I would say to him, yeah, that's a great idea because I told you that. And then the jury also asked, would he deny that an idea came from you? Answer, never. Finally, the jury wanted to know if in this particular period of time there was greater intensity than usual, and Hanna replied that because there was so much to do and so much new after the fall of Saddam that it was a period of greater intensity.
John Hanna seemed to be painting an interesting picture of Louis Libby. How did the prosecution do when they had a chance to cross-examine him?
Well, they didn't even challenge the fact that there was a lot going on, but Prosecutor Fitzgerald began by saying, is it fair to say that part of Louis Libby's job was to protect the vice president and the office of the vice president from attacks on the integrity of the office, attacks on the way the war was being conducted that suggested there was a lack of integrity? Answer, it would be important to push back on those issues, yes. Acknowledging that Libby was extremely busy, Prosecutor Fitzgerald said, if you had tried to get an hour or two with him for coffee to discuss something in the morning, he wouldn't have had time for you, would he? And Hanna sort of fudged on that, and so then Fitzgerald pursued it. He said, well, it would have had to be very important, wouldn't it? Hanna acknowledged that was true. The point that Fitzgerald was trying to make was that Libby's deputy probably wouldn't have gotten the kind of time with Libby that, in fact, the vice president's chief of staff gave to then-New York Times reporter Judith Miller, who got a couple of hours twice with Libby in that period of time to discuss items which she says include Mrs. Wilson's identity, and that, of course, is something that Libby denies.
And Nina, just very quickly, when will this go to the jury?
Probably next week.
Thank you, Nina.
Thank you.
That was NPR's Nina Totenberg.